Good evening. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the D&D Show, your weekly Dungeons & Dragons dose of madness and mayhem and actual play podcasting, Twitch streaming bollocks. My name's Luke. I'm your GM co-host. You know the drill. Lukey baby, as nobody calls me. Tonight, I'm joined by the wonderful, the mysterious James Bly.
Hello. Good morning.
How's the weather outside?
Oh, it's beautiful out here today, yeah. Yeah. I'm your reporter on the outside.
James is out on the streets in Romford, literally sat under a tarpaulin.
He's our Bear Grylls.
That's right, yeah.
And then we've got the wonderful bearded, docile tones of Sean F. Lee.
Oh, middle named. Thank you.
What does the F stand for?
It's F.
Just F.
F, yeah. Starts with an E. E-double-F. It's Francis.
Francis. You know what? So that was apparently...
That's my mum's name. Seriously, I hate shit. I'm not shitting you.
Excellent. It was one of the names that was apparently batted around for me as a kid when I was born. Was Francis before they settled on Luke, after the one and only Jedi, of course. And Gavin, our other bearded fellow. Well, I think apart from James and Lisa, we've all got beards, really, I suppose. Though mine's the weakest of the lot. My beard game is not on point. I have to keep it trimmed because I can't grow a moustache. It's awful. Gavin, how are you doing, sir? Gavin Bourne.
Yeah, not bad, mate. Not bad. Good. Back to work this week again. So
again, not on call tonight.
No, not tonight. Luckily,
cool. Yes. That's good. Not getting you down too much work, is it not?
No, it's been all right. It's just it's quite a lot on at the moment. We're looking at reopening the building next week. So,
and that's Somerset House. Somerset House.
Yes. Yeah. Next week on Thursday, I think it is 16th. They're pegging it to open to the public, but only sort of certain areas of the building. Yeah. So there's a mushroom exhibition. So
what sort of mushrooms?
See you there.
It's all about mushrooms in art, mushrooms in fashion and design. Yeah, it's a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
Ironically, it's in the smallest room.
Yeah, it is pretty much.
And there's not mushroom in there, is it? Can I have that?
If anybody didn't know, then Sean sidelines a stand-up comedian as well.
Doing virtual gigs to no one.
You do actually, though, don't you? Have a stand-up. Act with.
I've got a comedy double act, Lewis and Lane. I say I have. We had a big tour planned over summer, and it all got cancelled. So we kind of exist, but we don't exist. Yeah, it's a bit of a fucker at the minute.
Well, hopefully next year I've always said, right? You know, I mean, you and I—we barely spoke for like 10 years, really. But when we started talking with this project and everything, I said to the guys, "You're one of the funniest people I have ever known." At least you were when we were 15. You know.
Yeah, no, but, that's long gone.
Cool. Right.
Everything's funny to a 15-year-old.
To be especially when I was 15, I was constantly high as well, so everything was hilarious. So for those of you live on the stream, you may have noticed that instead of Lisa's beautiful face, we are joined tonight by the bard, the cockerel chicken bard from Disney's Robin Hood, taking her place. Unfortunately, Lisa has some family health problems going on, so isn't going to be with us tonight. We did talk about cancelling or postponing or doing something else, but I decided I didn't have time to do anything else, to be honest, and everyone and including Lisa was like, no, just play without us anyway, so we have done. Unfortunately the dreaded COVID is in her house, so thoughts and prayers if you're religious. I'm personally not, but my thoughts are still with her and her family, and hopefully everything is going to be okay, and hopefully she'll be back next week, fingers crossed. Don't really have much more to say than that. You know what I was planning on
doing? Don't go to the pub.
Don't go to the pub. I saw your Facebook the other day and people kind of having a go.
I was so much shit. I was like, how am I in the wrong here? Leave me alone.
Just because we...
I said rude words. That's
you
why.
Did. You did. But it's because we...
Well, actually, you're kind of not in the right either. But there you go.
Exactly. That's
for another day, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I don't know. Don't go. Yeah, I mean, just... We say it every week. Be safe. Be sensible, man. It's like Don't go to the pub. If you're going to go to the pub, go for a nice little afternoon. Go to a respectable place like our local pubs up here. You have to book a table. You can't just go in for a casual drink. You have to book a table to go in, you know. Well, to be fair, that's a hungry horse as well. So it's not like it's a posh place.
Oh, right. I've not been to a hungry horse for years. Actually, the last time I went to yeah, that was
I used to run a Hungry Horse pub down in shitty
That's why I've not been to one for 10 years.
That's a lot of years of my life that I will never get back at. It.
Anyway. Where was it, Collier Row?
Yeah.
Is that Harold Wood, Collier Row stroke? Well, Harold Hill stroke, Collier Row, wasn't it?
Yeah. The Aspen Tree, if anybody wants to know, in Collier Row, Hungry Horse. Absolute fucking shithole. Hopefully Green King won't sue me for saying so. But what I find hilarious is that I worked my ass off for the 4 years I was there. Proper built it up. I had like 30% kind of ups, like increase on sales year on year. And the year after I left, it bombed. They got a zero stars health inspection. Manager who took over from me got sacked. And I was like, ah, fuckers, you should have appreciated me more when I was there. Anyway, there we go.
I bet that felt good.
It did. Anyway, so like last week I said, we're going to do a little section at the beginning about doing some shout outs and things like that. You'd make some use of the beginning section. And then I haven't actually got anything this week to go through. The only thing I will say is we do now have an Instagram.
Yeah.
Gavin, you're running Instagram. What's the address for it?
At the D&D show.
At the D&D show.
Best plug.
At the D&D show. Yeah.
On Instagram, check us out. Sean, you're going to have to redesign the template for OBS so that we've got that address on the bottom, because we've got the Twitter, Facebook, the Twitch, and the email, and everything.
We never see it, do we? So I was like,
And something that we've been talking about as well is, you know, like having a bit more interaction. So, you know, when we're on stream, we talk to the people in the chat. And stuff like that, but
all four of them,
10 at the moment, 10. But 10, the guys who do listen to us on the podcast, like, there's not much interaction between us and them, other than if you chat to us on Twitter, which a couple of people do. So we're going to put this out to you guys. If anybody out there is listening or watching, and you have any questions, and you want to talk to us, you have any ideas, you want to, you know, email us at showthednd@gmail.com. And then maybe at some point, maybe towards the end of this campaign, once it's all done and dusted, we can just do like a kind of a feedback kind of episode. We can answer some questions and things like that. It'd be a nice little way of giving back to you guys. You guys got anything to say? Anything interesting happening in your lives this week?
I went to the pub. Oh. No, I didn't.
I started writing some music. So.
We need to talk about this.
Go on in.
We wrote some music.
You absolutely just did a wicked arrangement orchestration of our current theme music.
Mm.
I forgot to send it to Luke. It's the reason you all haven't heard it tonight. but it should be on the next podcast or the one that's just been released.
So if you're listening to this as a podcast, which will be in like 2 weeks time from this recording, you would have just heard it. Let us know what you think. If today's episode 11, so we're recording episode 13 now, episode 11 of the podcast did drop today. It's available now, download it. And I noticed, I listened to it a little bit earlier, I haven't listened to it properly, but we always release the podcast in two parts, so every week is actually two episodes. The first episode, the first part, has the 8-bit on it, but in the second part has the orchestral version.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, because I really like the original, you know. It would be such a shame to lose it.
Yeah.
At least use it for the end or something.
That's what me and Sean discussed, is using it for the outro or something. So the original theme tune, the 8-bit kind of style one, was written by my brother-in-law, Lewis Gale. I think you can find him on Twitter and YouTube at Lewis SW Gale.
I can't get that out of my head.
He wrote it originally. I love it. It's really catchy. And it's James, so catchy. James is a musical genius and has rearranged it using BBC. What is it? The BBC sound? What was it?
Yeah. It's by Spitfire Audio. They have a BBC Orchestra Go, which is either £50 or free if you wait 2 weeks. So it's really strange. You can get it for free as long as you basically fill in the questionnaire on Spitfire Audio's website, and then they send you the code for it 2 weeks later. And I've got to say, it's an absolutely magnificent piece of software for anyone who wants to start dabbling in orchestration. Cool. So
yeah, and it does sound good. It does sound epic as well. So I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully you're going to do us some like battle music and some stuff like that. And
need some fight music.
Podcast.
I've started working on the battle music actually already.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. The podcast is what it's about. I mean, this is fun. I love seeing the people in the chat and chatting away and stuff. But really, if you want the full... the full experience of what we have to offer, check out the podcast. It's edited. We take out some of the guff that we, you know, when we talk nonsense, and it's got background sounds, it's got sound effects, it's got music.
It's 5 minutes long.
And it's, it's like a feature film every week. So let's check in with the chat then. Let's have a look in the chat. Who have we got in here today? We, again, have the usual crowd so far. Fires of Athelin tuned in again. Fantastic. Great to see you guys. Loving your show. Haven't listened to this week's episode yet, but it's in my playlist. I will do. So everybody, check them out. Brand new RPG system that they've developed, and they're running a campaign to kind of showcase it. Psyconsent, good evening. Troy Tempest, hello. The Rigonaut, hello. Thank you very much for joining us, whoever you are.
The Rigonaut
says, a very bizarre comment, but I'm only up to episode 8. This will be my first time tuning in live. Not sure I should watch tonight. Maybe I should wait until I've caught up. No, don't worry about it. Hello. Thank you for being here. You're not going to miss
hello,
much.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. So it's great that obviously you've listened, or you've either listened or watched to the previous episodes and you're here tonight. That's absolutely fantastic.
We can't deprive them of episode 9. Let them get that out of the way.
Or
was it 10?
Was it 9? I think 9
was the infamous shopping.
I think that was 9.
Was that 9?
But you know what? The podcast version was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. But yeah, I think as a viewing experience live, it was a bit dreary. Trine Tempest, hello. Daz Spray, Peter, hello. Pete, give your love to Lisa and family, please. Letting know that we're thinking of her. And that's it so far. Daz Bray's already filled out the survey. Hope he gets his email this week. Brilliant.
good man.
He does like that as well.
So, is that enough waffle for the intro?
Yeah, let's all go die.
Yeah. Cool, excellent. It's starting to rain, so yeah, let's get this going.
All right, so...
closer and closer to the screen as he gets under the little tent that he's made for.
Yeah, I will. I'll be going to get the other bits of Corex in a minute.
D20's on the go. Right.
Oh, I always roll really well now, and for the rest of the game, it's shit. I just rolled
that's
an 18.
Plan. Get those crap rolls out of the way.
3.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we're rolling D20s, aren't we?
Yes, please. Hold escapes up. On a 10.
Fuck.
Young Shawnee boy.
Oh, yeah, that works as a big 20.
So, very quick character instructions, actually, for anybody. I'll do it very quickly. Sean plays Pock, Druid. James plays Scapes, Paladin. Gavin plays Burr, Rogue, Swashbuckler. So, Pock,
Pock.
What's happened last week and the build-up to last week?
Right, so we found Cragmore Castle. We're on the hunt for Glassstaff, the Black Spider, obviously our man Gundren.
So you're looking to rescue Gundren and bring justice to the other two that you mentioned.
Absolutely. So we found the justice. We found Cragmore Castle. We took care of a few hobgoblins last week, and then we found a room, and inside that room there was a wolf, a big dire wolf. We found King Groll, head of the bugbear chieftain, and
the elf.
Yes, a dark elf named. I don't think I wrote it down.
It wasn't a name.
Oh, he wasn't given a name.
Turned out that it was a.
Luke said the wrong word, and then we realised it was a doppelganger.
So, so she was, as far as you were aware in character, a female drow, dark elf, long white hair. She tried to do an escape, and as I was kind of doing her moves and stuff, I accidentally referred to her as a doppelganger, which gave the game away. But it wasn't long after that before Millicent knocked her unconscious, and she transformed back into the doppelganger. So you would have found, but it just removed that kind of surprise, but never mind.
Yeah,
that's what happens.
We took down. I think James had the final blow on King Groll up on from the table. King Groll is out the way. We have left our little Dobby, Droop, our little sidekick goblin. We've left him to look after Gundren while we all chased the drow into a room that was filled with goblins. Burr ran in, had a quick look, then ran away.
Legged it.
Pock went in, transformed, or I think he was already transformed into a direwolf, and was instantly surrounded by about 10 goblins and took an absolute fucking hiding. popped himself back into Pock and then ran away into a dead end. And I think he used to escape some Burr pretty much untouched. They went in, took care of a few of them. Didn't take much damage. Millicent nearly went down.
Yeah, Millicent was nearly put down by King Groll, but she's still standing. Other than that, she was untouched by the goblins, I think. She said today she's got about 13 HP left, so she's all right. But yeah, I think you two other guys are relatively unscathed. But Pock, you've used up both of your wild shapes. You're just
sitting on 10 hit points as Pock at the minute.
Okay.
It's not too bad, but shit, still. Millicent is over with the unconscious drow.
That's right. In the middle of the combat, she's like, I'm going to go and search the pockets of this doppelganger.
to rob the unconscious doppelganger.
Yeah, and look for cyanide pills.
That was right. Yeah, that was right.
Yes, in the teeth. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So we've got a few goblins left, and I believe a few more have rocked up.
That's right. So we ended last week as the door in front of you kind of swung open, and you saw down this corridor more goblins and one of them charged towards you, and that's about it.
Shit,
you know what? Yeah. She knows where Phandelver is. I'm telling you, that doppelganger knows where Phandelver is.
The answer.
Possibly. Possibly.
She's not working. She's obviously not working for the goblins.
No.
They're being had.
Right, so we had a conversation about the map, didn't we?
That's right. I was about to prompt you.
She wanted the map?
Mm-hmm.
She had the map. She wanted to buy the map off of King Groll or something like that, I think.
Yeah, so she could burn it.
They had,
that's what them drow are like.
So the conversation you overheard went something like, we had an arrangement, you've been paid, where's the map? And then King Groll was like,
Tough shit.
This is proven more difficult than you made out. I've lost a lot of good goblins already to these adventurers, and you have to pay more, you know, to make up for that. And she was kind of refusing and saying, you know. So that's basically what you heard from the outside of the door before you stormed the door and slaughtered them all. Gundren was unconscious in there, as you said. You left your Droop, a companion that you rescued earlier on a few episodes ago, kind of looking after. So
he's come through for us so far. He's done all right, hasn't he?
Yeah. I wouldn't trust him any further than I can throw him. No. That's all right, because I can throw him probably about 60 foot.
Very quickly, Lisa's popped into the Twitch chat and just popping in to say, don't die, don't kill me, and I love you guys a lot, Lisa.
We love you too,
Lisa. Be safe,
Lisa,
be well.
I'm in charge of Millicent tonight.
Yeah. If there's any changes tonight, you know, if your niece goes down well and you've got the energy, you know, she's asleep and happy and you've got the energy, then let us know and join in, you know, in the second half or something, mate. You'll be more than welcome, obviously. All right, so are you ready to get cracking with this week? Okay, I need some silence. So imagine this adventure is like a movie. You're sat in the movie cinema, or perhaps you're at home, Netflix and chill. The camera fades out to black. Silence. The sound of people going about their business fills your ears as light from the movie theatre screen bursts forward, almost blindingly so. And you see children playing, running around with sticks, mothers chatting and trading at various market stalls, a blacksmith pounding away at a piece of metal, working it into some kind of tool or another. Clang, 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 clang. The camera pans around to show you the village we're in near a dark and brooding forest, where you see some lumberjacks or carpenters or something nearby working huge logs of wood. You, the viewer, realise that you've seen this place before, but never so full of life. Last time you saw it, it was filled with decrepit building frames and ankle-deep in detritus that stand alongside ancient logs culled from the fallen trees that the villagers must have abandoned when they fled at some point. And, of course, spirit-animated plant monsters and zombies that now haunt pockets of Thundertree. For now, the town of Thundertree is but a skeleton of its former self. But you, the viewer, you see now how once upon a time Thundertree was in fact a prosperous logging village and the source of the best Neverwinter timber. A group of men and women that exit the forest carrying bundles of wood, guiding carts pulled by oxen, dragging larger pieces of fallen timber. As they approach the town, walking up the path, a small funny-looking man with a familiar face and a raven on his shoulder exits the forest a little while after them. And then, not too far behind him, a stag hovers in the tree line. He halts, looking back at the forest with a thankful smile on his face. "Thank you, as always," he whispers in the wind. "Blessings be with you." The stag lowers its head in a bow and disappears out of sight. The small man turns and walks back towards the village with satisfaction in his step. "Quite a good haul this week, Beakby. The forest spirits must be generous." The screen fades to black again, to darkness. The sky flashes with crimson fire and the ground shakes, and we hear children scream as on the horizon, the looming mountain spews forth fire and brimstone. Fog, cloud, snow fills the town. No, it's not snow, it's not fog. Smoke and ash choking the air, houses ablaze as hot rocks fall from the sky. Men and women and children are rushing around, passing buckets of water, trying desperately to douse the flames. Sure, there may be some cosmetic damage, the people must think, but nothing they can't rebuild. Right? Again, the camera flashes between different images of people running, but this time not with buckets, with makeshift weapons, axes and scythes, etc. Screams and sounds of pain fill our ears, and finally we see the fear in the eyes of a man as some kind of monster grabs hold of him, dragging him to the ground, teeth tearing into his flesh. Then another and another victim fall. The camera pans out to a bird's eye view as we see stumbling through the town from the forest. Dozens, if not hundreds, of burnt undead swarm the town. We now see a child of maybe about 9 or 10, huddled in a burning building, crying silently in fear. In his arms are a bundle of cloth. "Shh," he says. "It's okay, Gentania. Father will come get us soon. Just be quiet. Shh." The baby lets out a wail, and the boy holds her tight to his chest. "Shh, baby, shh." Another stifled cry escapes his embrace as the door slams open and one of these creatures marches in. Bears down on the children. The boy grips the baby tighter and doubles over her, putting himself between the infant and the creature. Suddenly, a bird flies in through the open door and scratches at the monster's face, momentarily distracting it, as you hear another growl, a fearsome, deep growl. But not coming from the shambling creature. In the doorway, we now see a wolf baring its teeth, snarling menacingly. In a flash, it pounces, clawing the zombie's throat, and lands next to the two scared children. The monster, still standing, lets out another groan as it tries to slam down on the wolf, but the wolf is too quick. It darts between the zombie's legs, snapping with its sharp teeth as it does so, making contact with something as it does so. With a locked jaw tight around the creature's groin, the wolf shakes its head violently, tearing huge gash of flesh from the zombie's lower abdomen as it turns to ash and crumbles to dust, filling the room. "Fonkin," the boy calls, the baby still crying, and he wraps his spare arm around the wolf, burying his tear-soaked cheeks in its furry neck. The wolf licks the baby's tears as its cries turn to giggles. "What's happening? What's that thing? Where are our parents?" The wolf shakes the dust out of its fur and strangely, some might say magically, starts to shrink into itself. The wolf starts to disappear, its claws, ears and snout retract. And before you in ash and the dust-ridden smoky room is the small man, a gnome in fact, that we saw earlier. The bird flutters down from the rafters and lands on his shoulder. "Well done, Bigby. Now, young master escapes. Let's get you out of here. After the eruption of Mount Hope now, we already know that Thunder Tree was all but destroyed and abandoned in the wake of these events. But what few people that escaped with their lives owe it in no small amount to the brave actions of young Fonkin Dingle that night. He led the refugees to Neverwinter, only discovered that the Jewel of the North also suffered massive casualties in the wake of the volcano. A huge rift to the abyss deep below the land opened up, destroying more than half the city. And more than a third of the city was completely wiped out, including the castle area and the ruling royal family never seen. Many of its surviving inhabitants fled south to neighbouring cities and kingdoms, but Fonkin stayed in Neverwinter, using his skills as a druid to help rebuild and look after many orphan children, who affectionately nicknamed him Pock. After all, Fonkin Dingle was a bit hard for children to pronounce. Over the years, he raised dozens of children, and not just orphans from Thunder Tree. He also ran a school and helped tutor many of the children in Neverwinter that remained. But eventually, one by one, they all grew up and mostly left Neverwinter once they were able to. As for more than a generation now has passed, and the city was all but dead. However, recently, a lord from the great city of Waterdeep, which is hundreds of miles away to the south, came to the city and claimed to be the rightful heir to the Neverwinter throne. Pock really cared little about this, not wanting to get involved in politics. He was just pleased to finally see that the great city is going to be rebuilt. And now that it's been looked after by someone, it was finally time for him to leave too. After all, city life is no place for a druid. Phandalin, he hears, is quite nice. Packing up everything he could carry, we now see Pock leave the gates of Neverwinter, and before the camera fades to black again, we see a close-up of his face once more. He's aged since the start of this flashback. And now we see a face we've come to recognise, with the all-familiar talisman that sits around his neck. A small skull of a bird, his trusty friend, Bigby. The rest of Pock's journey we've already seen in our episodes. But like now a life that flashes before someone's eyes, we see a montage of images speed through like a flickbook of photos. Horses blocking a road filled with arrows. A squirrel whispering in Pock's ears. A cave entrance with a half-elf washed out of a river pouring from its mouth. I came across what looked to be a goblin ambush and thought the people might be in danger. We're looking for a friend of ours, the woman replies. Please, can you help us? A bear is now ripping off a penis of a bugbear, killing it. We now see flashes of Phandalin, a bit of shopping, some red brands, a Nothic weird eye monster. Scenes from an epic battle with several thugs and bugbears. Pock lying on the floor, bleeding out. But one of his new friends pours down a potion in his neck and saves him. We now see the group riding on horseback. A campfire. Fighting, action spinning around Pock as his comrades battle these ghouls. Pock is paralysed like a statue. Now we see Thunder Tree, zombies, plant monsters, another squirrel. Everything's speeding up now. We see Redoff, a castle, more combat, hobgoblins, King Groll, goblins. So many goblins. Pock snaps out of his daze, a battle ensuing around him, bodies of goblins everywhere, his companions fighting in the next room. An angry-looking goblin charges him from the side through a doorway, and behind him, you, Pock, can see more and more charging. It's been a long journey, but really, you've only known these people for a week. The window's open, you've got low hit points, no more wild shapes. I believe you've got a spell slot save, loaded with Misty Step and ready. How do you feel? What are you going to do? What's going on inside Pock's mind right now?
That was great. Nice one.
That was beautiful.
That was awesome. That was really good.
Yeah, man, you should have written the last Wheel of Time books. Anyway,
you'll have to send me that. That's quality. I don't know, Pock. Yeah, I don't know. Pock has a thing. He latches onto people very too soon. He's only known these guys for a little while, but to just run away and save himself isn't really what he's about. He also isn't about dying. So I think, as an intelligent gnome, he will, I think, Misty Step just to get himself out of danger, but not too far that he can't help the others.
I've got a heal that I want to give you, though.
I will come and find you shortly. You need to be able to touch me, is that right?
No, it's just a...
Lay on hand.
No, it's not laying hands I want to use. No, I'm going to use heal wound. I'll give him my 3 points of lay on hands as well, if you can get to me. But
I'm going to... Pock wouldn't really know this. I'm going to reach into my bag, pull out the bottle of zombie dust that I collected a few days ago, throw it in the goblin's face, and then misty step. Do I need to be in line of sight?
You need to be able to see what you're doing, but it's not your turn yet.
Oh. Oh, okay. Well, this is Pox thinking what he's going to do when he can is that. He'll misty step, I think.
What are we left with?
What are you left with? Well...
Oh, she's knocked out down there, isn't she?
So we left off last week in the middle of combat.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get crack-a-lacking. Another goblin bursts out from behind the goblin that stood in front of you, Pock, and runs kind of past him, and it's going to swing and attack at you. Rolls a natural one.
Hey.
As he does so,
kills himself.
Trips over. He kind of runs round. You can see on the map that in that area when it chokes with rubble, he just loses his footing and falls over prone. Disappears, and then Scapes are up.
Okay, I'd like to move next to Pop.
So there's a goblin between you and Paul. But that's the goblin just fell over his arse. So he's fallen over on the floor and he is prone, which would give you advantage on the attack roll.
What have I done? Sorry, I'm
have
on
you deleted
shit.
Your
no, he's just moved through
your marker again.
He's used misty step. He got it wrong. You misheard.
Such a slow. If someone just moved me back, thank you.
Done it. Yeah. Yeah. So you're basically standing next to the hallway there, leading down to where Pock is. But there is a goblin between the two of you, which you can't get past the goblin.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna put my hunter's mark on him as my bonus action.
Yep.
Because I assume that's still floating around.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then I shall attack.
Do it.
With advantage. Let's have a look. So we've got a 10 and a 10.
Oh. That's not good.
What?
That sucks.
Well, together they're 20, though.
That is true. If only the game worked that way.
Oh, bugger.
No, unfortunately, he's falls over. And he's just rigging around and kind of manages to just swing out of the way as your sword comes crashing down and just makes contact with the floor.
As a bonus, can I ready myself?
Do you need to touch with that spell? You said that it's a verbal spell. You just need line of sight.
Oh, yeah, it is a verbal spell, yeah. Why did I... Oh, I'm such a div.
I'll tell you what, because we did just talk about this, what you were going to do. I think I maybe confused you with the idea this goblin's in the way. If all you need is line of sight, read the spell description. I will allow you to wreck on that. Aren't I a generous GM?
You're the best GM, mate. Thank you very much. Basically, no. Say it again. It is a touch. It's a touch spell. I've got to touch him up.
You do have to touch. Okay, yeah. So in that case, then we'll stick to the fact that you made the attack and missed. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Right.
Jolly good. Well, I'd like to prepare myself just in case he goes for Pock again. I'm the other side of him, and I so.
That's fine. Okay. Burr, looking at the map, I'm assuming that these guys are still alive. You've got a goblin either side of you. The first one is going to swing down at you.
Okay.
Rolling an 18. Plus the modifiers, more hit. So damage on that, I believe, is a d6. For 5 points of damage.
Okay.
But you're up there. You have a goblin either side of you.
I'm going to try and smash the granny out of these two, then.
Do it.
Okay.
Apologies for the washing machine spinning around in the background.
That's
all right. It's all right. Yeah, so I'm going to take the one on my right, roll to hit. A 10 plus 5.
That's a hit.
Boom! And then I will roll my d8 to hit. 7.
7 points plus your...
Plus 3.
That is 10 points of damage. You kill it.
Yeah!
You have a bonus action with your second weapon. You can turn and attack the one that's behind you.
I will do that. And that's 2d6.
So you have to roll to hit first with d20.
Yep. Oh, fucking hell. Natural one.
So you miss the you miss that, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
But never mind. So you've used your action, you used your bonus. You can move, but it would incur an attack of opportunity.
Yeah, I might as well stay keep this guy tied up.
No, it won't, because you're a swashbuckler. No. So if you if you make an attack, then you can move without incurring. So I don't think it says anything about having to hit. I think it just says when you make the attack, you can then disengage. Okay. But if you want to move, you can, or you can stay there. It's up to you.
I'll keep him busy.
Pock, you are up.
Right. He is going to go out fighting. just a very quick thing. I can do a cantrip and a spell in a round. Is
you
that correct?
You can, yes. So if as long as they constitute as... So one of them has to be a bonus action. So, yeah, you can't cast. So you can do a spell as your action and a cantrip as a bonus. And I think you can do a cantrip as your action and a spell as a bonus. But as long as it states in the spell description, it can be used as a bonus action.
Yeah, okay. That slightly changes my plan. If I were to throw something, that is classed as an action, isn't it? So I can't attack and then throw something. Would that be correct?
Sorry, what was the question?
if I was to throw an object, does that count as my action?
It would do, yes.
So I wouldn't be able to attack after throwing an object.
No.
You can jump out of the window.
See, you've got options. You can use your action, instead of attacking or casting a spell, you can use your action to disengage, which means that you can then move without incurring that attack of opportunity. But you can't go through an enemy's space. So you can't leave this room. So your only way out of this room is out the window.
Or, with Misty Step, do I still have the attack of opportunity?
You'd have to read the spell description.
It doesn't say. It's a bit of a weird one. It just says, briefly surrounded by silvery mist, you teleport to up to 30 feet into an unoccupied space that you can see. There's a bonus action.
I think if you cast a spell next to somebody, then it does incur an attack of opportunity. Let me just check. Combat, cast a spell. Let's have a look, see what it says in the compendium on Roll 20. And so the reason I got distracted was because Fires of Aphelion just had sent me a private message in Twitter talking about the stream and how I'm streaming from the GM tools. That actually, I'm doing that on purpose. I did think about using a separate laptop to tidy up, but I actually like the idea of you, the viewers, seeing what I'm doing as a GM. One of the original concepts of the show was to teach people. So I like the fact that you can see what I'm doing on the stream. I do believe that if you cast a spell, I think they do get an attack opportunity. I'm sure they do. I'm sure I've read that, because there's a feat that you can take as a wizard. I think it's a feat to avoid that.
So I can't attack. I can just, I have to disengage and then fuck off.
I think so, but I do want to find an answer for you, because I don't want to push your hand. Okay, I can't find a rule on it, so I will allow you to cast a spell. That's fine. If you're thinking about doing your Misty Step, I'll allow it without any repercussions, because I can't be bothered to go through the rules and find it. I'm fairly
That's why I just, before I disappear, I want to do what I can. So
so you could.
I was going to do a spell.
You could
fuck off.
You could use your action to neck a potion. Misty Step is a bonus, yeah? So you could use your action to neck a potion and then Misty Step either through the window outside or even back into this main room, like behind behind Burr, or vice versa. You could miss yourself and then doff a potion as an idea.
Can I make it to the corridor where Millicent is?
No, you have to be able to see it. You have to be able to see where you're teleporting to.
Can I not
to.
See there?
Okay. No, so you would need to be able to... So basically,
sorry, guys.
You're just going to have to kind of be a straight line from where you're at there. So I'll allow one of these two squares.
Can I do the potion and then figure out where to go?
Can you see into the room?
I can see the room. Yeah, I can see where I can see Millicent as well. That's why I thought I could go there.
Ah, okay. Yeah, but you can't land in her square.
Okay,
but you could land one ahead of her, couldn't
he? But yeah, you could land. Here
on top of that drow
you could land here and then you still got your movement. Yeah,
perfect. Yeah, I feel leaving the building's a bit of a shitty move for everyone, so I will down the potion.
2d4 plus 2 hit points. There you go. So Fire's Aphelin has just confirmed the rule for me. In 5e, the only way to attack a creature casting a spell within 5 feet is with the feat Mage Slayer. So that's what I was talking about. I knew there was a feat. That's okay. What I was thinking of. There you go. So there's nothing that they can do if you want to cast that spell.
Okay, cool. So I've rolled a 6. Did you say it was a plus 4?
What's for, no, for the potion, you roll 2d4 plus 2.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so 6, 7, 8 in total, bringing me to full hit points.
There you go. And then you're going to cast Misty Step as a bonus action.
Cast Misty Step, which is a bonus action level 2.
And you want it to go there?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. And then I'm going to...
30 feet, 5.
And then run a few more, if that's okay.
Just check. Is it only 30 feet you can go?
It is. Teleport up to 30 feet. Yeah.
So you can't quite go there. You can go the one behind.
Okay, look. Cracking.
So on top of this dead goblin.
15, 20, 25. Can I run to here as well for 25-foot movement?
As far as I'm aware, you can. I don't think it uses up your main movement, so you can then move up to 30 feet as well, yeah.
Just going to have a quick breather and reassess. At least I can get back in the room, can't I?
Don't know if that was really necessary after you cast the... after you used the potion, but anyway.
Oh, I suppose not. I want to move one closer. I can get back in the room
if
in
you
that
want
case.
To. Okay. All right, brilliant.
They might not be able to reach me.
So it is now Millicent's turn. So who is going to... So Kachi, I think she tied up. She used her action last time to tie up the doppelganger and check its mouth. She didn't find anything in its mouth. So what's she going to do? Enter the fray. Has she got any healing? I mean, does Pox still need more healing?
No, she is out of healing spells. She has no inspirations.
What's Pox's HP like?
I am full. I'm 18 and I'm full up. I'm all good.
You're good. So you don't need any more healing.
I'm all right.
So I think she said that she's got some spell slots left. So she should have some healing.
Yeah, she's got 2 level 1 and 1 level 2. She's on 13 hit points.
Yeah, so she's got some kind of healing spell. I'm sure she has.
Yeah, if not, she can shoot that prick with an arrow.
Yeah, she uses a bow and arrow, but I actually think that she was using her swords last time. She's going for the two-weapon fighting, the same as Burr, which are probably trying to... So she could charge in
she's
as a goblin.
A healing word. I think I'm going to heal her, I think.
If she needs healing, then yeah, let her do that herself.
She's on 13 hit points. She has healing word. I don't know what to do after that because I've got no details.
Her character
I'm trying
sheet,
to figure out her character
did,
sheet.
Did her character sheet not have spell descriptions on it? Let's open it up.
It might be.
It'll be on the last page.
No, I've got no information on what to
roll.
No,
there's no information on there. So I was just looking at. Okay, so let's look it up. That's what roll 20 is good for, is the fact that you can check the stuff. Healing word. So healing word allows you to regain enough hit points equal to 1d4 plus your spellcasting ability modifier. So her ability modifier should be on her sheet. Plus 5. So you roll a d4 and plus 5.
That's a 2. 5, 7... Which brings her up to 20 in total.
There you go.
And she's one off full hit points.
And that's only a bonus action. So actually, she's still got her movement and action. So she could still charge in.
Should we give her a crossbow shot? That's what she's good at, isn't it?
She's got her swords out at the moment.
So she'll need to charge in. So she can get up. So she could get up next to Burr and attack this goblin that Burr's fighting.
Yeah, could help.
Let's do it.
Can she get far enough so... gets advantage, or is her movement not that far?
She needs to get right behind him for that.
Yeah.
Which is probably not far enough.
Don't think so, no.
30 foot of
movement. It is 30. Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah, I the issue is I now can't see into the room, so I can't make any judgment of where she wants to.
So you can't see inside the room? Okay,
no.
All right.
I think if we just stick her there, then.
So she can get next to Bert. Tell you what, Pock, I'm going to move inside the room just so you can see, since so you're making, but I will remember that you're actually outside the room.
Should we chuck, where she is, I think. Is everyone happy with that?
Yeah.
I'm not the best at combat, as you can tell.
And an attack on that gobbo.
Yeah.
Yep. She has a long sword and a short sword. What's she holding?
Both.
Okay.
So she makes. Both. She'd only be able to make one attack because she's used her bonus action to cast the healing word. So she can make an attack with her rapier, I think she's got, hasn't she?
Yeah, it just says longsword, short sword on here.
Ah, she's been cheating me if that's all she's got written down there, because you can't use two weapon fighting with a longsword. So, cheating. The truth comes out now, doesn't it?
Let's have a look.
I'm working on the assumption that she's been using, same as Burr, a rapier
Did she not pick one up in the thingy and just left it on there? You know, when we...
She was using a
sword and a dagger. Thank you. She's still watching.
Yeah, so I thought I'd just check, the chat and just see if that's the case.
Yeah, I just saw that. So a short sword.
She's the only one that's allowed to metagame right now.
Come on, Lisa. What do you want to do?
I mean, come on, Lisa. If you're watching, you might as well be playing, Lisa.
Just right, what's better?
Just a short sword. She's using the short sword. That's what she's got out. Yeah, so
the 1d6 plus 2.
Yeah, so you roll to hit, same as everything else. D20.
Natural 20.
Go on, Lisa.
Well done, Lisa.
And 1d6 plus 2 for damage.
So
it's a 1.
You're going to kill it, because, again, our house rule is, instead of rolling damage dice twice, we assume that the first roll is an automatic maximum. So she's straight off the bat has done 8 points of damage before you even roll the dice. This goblin is dead.
Yay, bang. Well done, Luce. Yeah. Smashing it.
That's presumably Millicent's go over.
Yeah, It's hard enough playing as one player. I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm slowing this down.
No, you're fine, mate. It's fine.
Okay, cool. Right, so this goblin is dead. This goblin, right. Right, okay, this goblin is up. What's he going to do?
I'll cut that.
Yeah. Cut me burping out. No one needs to hear that. Do apologise to the live viewers. Right, so goblin. Oh, it's a room full of dead goblins. Is the goblin going to be fucking dumb enough to charge in? Let's roll a d20. How wise are they? They have a minus 1 to their wisdom, so not very. Boom. This goblin. Standing next to Scapes, he was prone on the floor, so he's going to use half his movement to stand up, so that's 15 feet. He's going to use... Goblins have similar to Burr's cunning action thing, so they can disengage for free and then move. And then this goblin is going to go down there, and what I didn't do... Last turn. Right, Scapes, you're up. Sorry, mate.
No worries, fella. What way did they run? Because obviously I didn't see which way they run, but my character would have.
Right, so they've basically have gone back through... they ran back through the door where they came from. So down in that little room, there's a door, which you probably can't quite see, but yeah, I'm sure you could probably would have noticed that there's something there.
What room's that? What room are you talking about?
Exactly, you haven't been down there yet, so you don't know.
What, south of where I am, you mean?
Yeah, so from where you are.
Yes.
Yeah, so basically,
that's where I'm looking at.
Yeah, you probably can't see it.
No, I see.
No, you can't see it. But there's a door, but it's where they came from down there. So you'd have to go down and have a look.
Yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to move 10 foot then to start. Let's have a look. Right, I can see them again now. Can I just move one space forward and nut this goblin?
If that's what you want to do, if you've got enough movement to do it.
Yeah, well, I only want to move as further 5. Is that the one that's Hunter's marked, by the way?
It is, yeah, the one that was prone on the floor, yes.
All right, cool, yeah, I'm going to come up here and I'm going to try and take a whack at him. 15.
That'll hit.
Okay, I'll do my damage. Oh, the damage is 8 plus a d6 as well.
Yeah,
just add the d6.
If you want to see how bad that you obliterate it... then go for it.
Yeah, there you go. So it's hit for 11.
Yeah, it's dead. It's running away, basically, and you've charged after it, so it's back to turn, so you've just burst out there and brought your justice down on it, and it has died.
Yeah, justice all over his face.
That's how she likes it.
Amazing.
Nice. This is a family show.
After recommending it to my mate, and I think her son about 7 or 8. It's for beginners, it's fine. There's only swearing when Tories are mentioned, it's fine.
You think that's bad? Like, I reckon half of our downloads for the podcast is probably my daughter. She's only 4, so 4. But we got them all fire.
She doesn't like Tories, so it's fine.
This is it. But we got them all fire tablets for Christmas, right? And they've got like a kid's profile on there, but they like to listen to music. So I put my Spotify on there, and she's managed to find the D&D show. So I think she mostly just listens to the beginning with the music, and then when I like start talking, and she's always coming up to me and she goes, "Daddy, your podcast." She calls it a podcast. So I
she's Italian.
Yeah, but I think that's, I think I'm guessing that every time she does that, it counts as a download, and that'd be why Spotify counts as our biggest. That's why we've got like 940 downloads in the past month and a half.
Have more kids, Luke.
Yeah. just a Spotify download factory.
Yeah. Yeah, all I used to do now is train them how to leave reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your podcast are very good.
Yeah. Right. Who's up next? This goblin up here.
Goblin. Yeah, and here I am. Come get me, you little fucker.
Right, this one. Pulls out a bow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, against my shield.
A little
good for him.
Well, yeah. A little short bow. He can see you. And he's going to twang and miss. Okay. Scapes, you are up.
1 minute. Didn't I just run
just
into
go.
This room?
Sorry, yeah. Yeah, just because I didn't
go again.
No, that's fine. oh, that one just went. Oh, that didn't happen at all. Scapes, you went. And then this disc goblin is dead, so he goes. And we're back at the top of the round. So I don't know how many rounds we are into this combat now. I'm just going to do something very quickly because I've added some extra creatures to the initiative. And instead of them all having zero, I've rolled for them. So you should still be up top. But Burr, it's your go.
Righto.
Righto, mate.
I'm going to start it in towards the 25. So 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. That's as far as I can move. But then I can double move, can't I?
If you want to, yeah. You've got, because you've got you've still got that cunning action. Does that allow you to use a bonus action for a dash?
This action can be used only to take the dash, disengage, or hide action.
There you go. So you can use that to dash, which then gives you another 25 feet of movement, and you still have your main action free in order to make an attack, if that's what you're thinking. If you want,
yeah, I'm just seeing what's ahead.
From what you can see from where you are, so you've got a doorway right in front of you.
I can see two right in front of me.
Yeah, sunlight is pouring into that corridor that you can see, and you can see the broken down doors at the front there. You can tell that this is, you saw this earlier on today already. This is like the front of the castle with the broken doors. At the other end of the corridor are two goblins. That's all you can see at the moment.
Just wondering if it is worth me running in there and having a poke. Fuck it. That's what I'm here to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on, son.
Right, okay. Yep. I can see the edge of something there. Oh, I better get killed now.
So you barge past Scapes, knocking him flat on the floor. Sorry, Scapes.
Yep.
And then charge forward and make an attack.
Yep, I'm going to attack this one right in front of me. Let's see if I hit him. 17 plus 5.
That's a hit. A hit. Yeah, absolutely is.
Then roll my D8. That's a 6 plus 3. That's a dead goblin, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You haven't needed to use your sneak attack damage. You've killed that goblin. Boom.
And I can use my sneak attack as well, yeah?
Well, you could have done, but you've killed it.
No. Okay.
So the sneak attack is just extra damage when you hit. It's not an extra attack, it's just extra damage.
Sorry. Yeah. I just want to smash it.
Stab the fuck out, yeah. Do it again, my
goblin. What goblin part of it are you eating?
Goblin jelly.
Yeah.
Is that a green jelly cover band?
Yeah.
This mother funster.
What are they? What the? Boom. They have a key.
Oh, there's a hobgoblin, is that right?
There's some hobgoblins knocking around. There we go.
So from what you can see at the other end of this corridor where you just charged up, Burr, you'll see that behind these two goblins are two doors, one on the left wall and then one straight ahead. From the door straight ahead, which was open, you fought some of these already, a massive hobgoblin charges out. They're bigger than normal goblins, probably about 5 feet, 5.5 feet tall. And he's got chainmail, so heavily armoured, a big shield, and a long sword. Charges down at you.
And he's going to have a poke at me, I guess.
Well, he's going to definitely poke you with something, mate, yeah.
Uh-oh. That sounds ominous.
How long's a short rest? Am I technically short resting right now?
An hour. Oh, God. An undisturbed hour.
I'm going to disappear for a bit.
Every combat round is 6 seconds, so you've got a while.
Okie doke.
Okay, so he rolls a 22 to hit you.
Ooh, yeah, that is.
Yeah, 6 points of damage.
I'm down to 11.
Oh, cutting it close.
Hopefully I'll be able to use my disengage action eventually. Mm. It gets back to me if I'm not dead.
Another one of these hobgoblins bursts through the door, takes a second assess the situation. Does he move forward? So he hasn't got enough movement to reach you, or he could take a double dash. I think he is going to run straight past you, and this one is going to go down for the other, you know, from his point of view, the heavily armoured enemy and threat at the south of this room. As he runs past you, Burr, you do get to try and make an opportunity attack.
Okie doke. That's a d20, yeah. To it. That's an 8.
That'll be
plus 5.
Okay, so yeah.
13.
And he plants himself securely in front of Scapes on the south of that corridor. Pop, you're up.
Right, suppose I better go back in begrudgingly. Everyone's gone. Lovely. Cracking. All done.
You can hear the sounds of combat coming from the other end of that room through the doorway where you were stood earlier on.
Okay, I suppose we better help out. That is as much as I can do, I'm afraid.
You can use your action to dash and move another 25 feet. But
okay, I will get closer. 25. I'll stand behind this roadblock right there. I'll peek between his legs to see what's going on.
See what you can see from there. So you've charged into the room, hopped over the dead goblins, and you've kind of ended up behind Scapes using your action to dash. So from what you can see, basically you're on the other side of the doorway, just behind Scapes. You can just about see in front of him there is a hobgoblin, and I know that you, Sean, can see what's in the room, but you might have struggled. You can see and hear Burr fighting at the other end of that room.
Okie doke.
Right, you're done then, so.
I think so, yeah. No bonus actions of any... No, I think that's it. That's me done.
Bursting out through that door is another hobgoblin. Comes charging down. This one can't really... I think it's just going to stand there. Millicent.
Right, she's got 30 feet of movement, boys and girls, and she's got 2 spell slots left. See what she can do.
She doesn't really have any offensive spells. She's more of a support caster.
Have you got the spells your end? You probably know what they all mean more than I do.
Let me just bring it up. Oh, it's tiny on my phone.
Yeah, same here.
So she's got cantrips. So she's got Vicious Mockery, which is a cantrip. So you can cast that infinitely. Doesn't do a huge amount of damage, but if they fail a saving throw, then they get disadvantaged. So it's quite a good utility spell. Hideous Laughter is a level 1 spell. How that works is they make a saving throw, and if they fail, they double over into an uncontrollable fit of laughter and become incapacitated.
Amazing.
That would require a spell slot. The Vicious Mockery is probably, if you're thinking of kind of
do a cantrip and then the sword, she can't get to anyone.
So it depends whether it's a bonus action, which it's not. It would be, I'm guessing that would be an action.
It is time 1A.
Yeah,
which
so
I presume is
that's an action.
Action.
So it's a Wisdom 13 saving throw, 1 action. She would give up an attack to use that.
Okay. She can't actually get to anyone, can she?
Oh, so you can move through. You can move through an allied square. That's fine. She can't quite get past Scapes. So, but, I mean, what she could do potentially?
Can she cast the cantrip from there in sight?
Just did line of sight, so she could end up here behind you, basically.
Little conga line.
Cast Vicious Mockery this round, just to because what's like I said, what's really good about it is if you fail the saving throw. They take psychic damage. I think it's only like a D4. It's not a lot. But they then get disadvantage on all of their attacks for the next round. So it does have its perks.
Let's use that, I think.
So I'll move her to behind you. And then it's Vicious Mockery. Let me just check. Bring it up on the compendium. Vicious Mockery.
That sound good to everyone else?
You unleash string of insults laced with subtle enchantments at a creature you can see within range. If the target can hear you, Though it need not understand you, it must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or take D4 psychic damage and have disadvantage on the next attack roll it makes before the end of its turn. Yeah. Okay. So, crack-a-lackin'.
So, I hear your sisters going out with Squeak.
Ooh, and it's wisdom. Let's find out how wise is a hobgoblin. Wiser than a normal goblin.
Well, it just run up to me, so it can't be that wise.
Yeah, wiser than a normal goblin. But not wise enough. Yeah. Fails.
Yeah!
Do you want to roll a d4?
Yes, why not? That's a 3.
3 points of damage as you tell him his mum's going out with Screech. And he will now have disadvantage on its next attack roll. A bonus action she technically still has. I don't know how many spell slots she's still got left, but technically she could cast Healing Word if there's anybody
that
needs a healing, or you can save it for later.
I'm good.
I don't.
I think Burr, you're
I'm
a bit.
I'm down to 11 at the moment.
Can she reach that to Burr? 60 feet?
It's Healing Word, so yes, that can be reached to Burr. Yeah.
Let's give Burr.
So it's a D4 plus 5, we said earlier on, didn't we?
It's a 1, sorry, mate.
That's all right. 6. That puts me up to 17.
That's all right. You should be able to survive an attack or two.
Yeah, exactly. That's good.
So momentarily, you might see another hobgoblin appear in the doorway behind the one that's already waiting there. Seeing that he hasn't really got anywhere to go, he backs off.
Right.
For another entrance.
Okay, guys. So we're in some combat. Shit's just got real. Load of hobgoblins have just turned up. We'll wait and see what's going to happen until after the break.
Dun, dun, dun.
Or until the next episode, if you listen to the podcast. But what's that? We've been going for over an hour now, so good time to have a break.
Cool points.
Cool. So, what did you like about the exposition that I dropped on your asses at the beginning?
I love that. That was really cool.
Don't you think?
But I
thought that was brilliant.
The whole time I was thinking, right, well, Pock's definitely dead then. Because why is he doing this? What's he playing at?
I just wanted
to... Do you know what, man? It's actually really cool. Cause...
That was great.
Yeah, it was good.
So, I mean, like, it's something that other podcasts
do. It took me a while to realise.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was nice.
Yeah, I thought if... I wasn't sure if I didn't drop a name in, if it wasn't going to be realised or not. But cool. No, I've been working that past couple of nights as much as my wife has hated it.
why do these people not know my name?
Natasha, they do know your name.
Why do you have to call me your wife then?
Because you're my property.
Ooh. Right, I'm out.
Screen just goes back. Yeah, cool.
It's just support. It'd be nice to see. So see everybody in 5-10 minutes. We'll have a quick break and we'll... stay where you are. As always, or as before, we've got 16 viewers. Lovely. Thank you, everyone, who's in the chat. If you're bored waiting for us, and you've got time to spare, if you don't already follow us, then please do go to Twitter at ShowDND, Facebook at ShowDND. Yeah, YouTube is at ShowDND. Subscribe, like, all that crap. If you're listening to the podcast, give us a review, man, or lady, or whoever you are. Drop us a review on iTunes or on Podcast Addict or whatever you use. Say hello, send us an email, showthednd@gmail.com. Otherwise, stay tuned and we'll speak to you in a bit.
Ciao.
See ya.
The D&D Show would like to thank Sorco Soundscapes on YouTube for the music used in this recording. Find him on Twitter at Sorco Sounds. Thank you to Lewis Gell for writing our theme tune. Find him on Twitter at LewisSWGell. And thank you to our very own James Bly for creating the new incredible orchestral arrangement. Lastly, from all of us here at the D&D Show, thank you for downloading our podcast. You are amazing. We'll see you next time. The D&D Show is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy and is not approved or endorsed by Wizards. Portions of the materials used are property of Wizards of the Coast LLC.
You see, looking up from the ground, blood-red clouds boiling across the sky.
You did ask me to bring the thunder.
Dejin! Dejin! Help! I've got the chalice, please!
Well, if they're following you, then I guess that takes care of a loose end for me.
All of you feel the earth beneath you shake and crack and break.
I feel that I have failed both of you. And I am sorry for that.
This has nothing to do with you being a bad leader.
Do you want a countdown? Oh, I think I want a countdown.
I wanted to help. I always had good intention. I did not deserve to die.
Now.
The Lucky Die Podcast is a weekly 5e Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Join our adventure every Monday wherever you download podcasts by searching for The Lucky Die.
Hi guys, it's Luke. Very quick intro before the episode starts this week. You're about to hear an advert. Never done this before. But it's basically a favour, a podcast I listen to called The Billowing Hilltop, great bunch of guys, and I've become quite friendly with their GM, Mike, over the past couple of months as we've been growing and going through this journey together, him with his podcast, us with ours, and I love their show. So they've put a little promo together, and I said I'd play it at the beginning of our show. If you like how they sound, they're similar to us, maybe a bit more serious, but they've got a great little homebrew world. Now, I'd highly recommend checking them out. It's The Billowing Hilltop. Please, please, please do. Once you've finished listening to us, our episode, and you've loved it, and then you've gone and reviewed it, obviously, because, of course, why wouldn't you? Go have a look. Whatever app you're using, Spotify, whatever, have a little search for The Billowing Hilltop and check out my friends. Thank you very much. Enjoy the episode.
We're going to give it another go. It's a bit more, a bit more zing, a bit of zing,
zing.
Yeah. Ready? Hello,
hello.
With a
hello.
No. Wait till I get through the whole thing. Ready? Wait till. Hello, with a billowing hilltop.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh dear.
Waiting to get through the whole thing.
No. I mean,
I thought that was the whole thing.
The whole thing is hello with a billowing hilltop. Okay, that's the whole thing.
Yeah? Okay. That was right.
That pretty much sums up the show. But if you want to find out any more, you can visit us at www.billowinghilltop.com. Is it com? Does anybody know?
.org.
Is it?
.com.
What do we do? What do we play?
There's monsters.
Does anybody remember?
Walking around.
I don't know.
And
we will be delighted if you're to join us around our table as we play Dungeon. Is it 5th edition? Hello?
Yeah, we think so. Yeah.
Yes.
We play Dungeons and Dragons.
Sorry, that was me.
What was that noise in the background? There will be noises in the background as we play Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition through the classic Paizo adventure path, The Age of Worms. You can expect this.
No!
Quite a bit of this.
I'm completely lost.
This.
Blair.
This.
I've got a bugbear in my underpants.
And one of these.
Oh dear.
We're on Apple Podcasts and we're on Spotify and we're on TuneIn and you can find us on Twitter and you can find us on Facebook. And we hope you join us. Thanks very much.